Well, this evening we look to conclude our mini-series in the book of Habakkuk. So find with me, please, in your Bibles, the third chapter of Habakkuk. And if you're using the Bible there in the pew and it helps to have a page number, you'll find Habakkuk on page 1459. Probably not a minor prophet that we turn to frequently, and yet there are verses in this book that are dear to all of our hearts. And we've looked at some of them, and this evening we want to look at a few more of those. Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'll be reading for us the first seven verses, and then I'll read for us verse 13, verse 16b, and 18 and 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hands where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Verse 13. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. Then down in verse 16. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on all on the nations invading us. And then verses 18 and 19. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on high places. For the director of music on my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Father, again, we beseech you to speak to us and to encourage us and write these your words upon our hearts. Send us forth as people who with you remember mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've submitted to you the past two Lord's days that God's sovereignty and Jesus' sustaining grace and mercy are what holds Christians together when everything around them seems to be falling apart. Building on those two observations, this evening we must appreciate when everything around us is falling apart, not only are Christians comforted by the sovereignty of God and Jesus sustaining our lives, ultimately, Christians rejoice in the great salvation we enjoy because in wrath, God remembers mercy. Therein is the heart of the great salvation that we enjoy. By looking back one verse into chapter 2 and looking beyond the seven verses I read in chapter 3 along with those others, Habakkuk does three things in this prayer of his with which he concludes his book. And I have assigned the letter R, the responsibility of helping us remember those three aspects of Habakkuk's prayer so that we may be helped in our own prayer life when we feel like everything around us is falling apart. So the three R's, they're simple. Habakkuk remembers, and Habakkuk refocuses, and then finally, Habakkuk rejoices. Well, first of all, Habakkuk remembers. And if you look back there in the 20th verse of the second chapter, you might recognize this as a verse that you memorized some years ago, or after this evening, it might be a verse that you'll want to memorize. As Habakkuk remembers this, surely we ought to as well. But the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth be silent before Him. How many times during the life of the people of God was the Ark of the Covenant removed from their presence? And each time that happened, they encountered despair and defeat, because God was not in their midst by that physical representation of His presence. Habakkuk has heard from the Lord that the Babylonians are coming and they're going to take His covenant people into captivity. And he's complained twice, and the Lord has answered him twice. And now at the close, he remembers. No matter where that ark is on this earth, the Lord is in His holy temple. And if I'm allowed to paraphrase it, chill out. Be silent. You don't need to complain any longer. Remember where the Lord is. And think about that for a moment. For Habakkuk to remember that the Lord is in His holy temple doesn't have the richness that you and I have in that thought. Because we live post-Christ. We have the privilege of having seen in the fullness of time this Yahweh come to this earth and tabernacle among us and then give His life on the cross. And we'll look more at that in a bit. But He was buried and He resurrected and He ascended to sit the right hand of God. Remember, Jesus, the second Adam, is sitting in His holy temple. Chill. Regardless of what's going on all around, everything may look like it's falling apart, but Jesus reigns today. And none will stay His plans and His purposes for this world. And so we move on there into that second verse of the third chapter. Renew them, what? Your fame and deeds in our day, in our time, make them known. And then Habakkuk takes this trip down memory lane. And the first place he goes is really the first place that many of us go when we think about that Old Testament revelation of God. He goes to Mount Sinai. What does he do? He says, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Teman is that desert south of Sinai, and Mount Paran is that mountain right there next to Teman, and right there by Sinai. And it's that pathway. The Lord brought His people along to enter into covenant with them there at Sinai. And those of us who enjoyed watching Ray Vanderlaan talking about walking in the steps of Jesus were challenged and I think encouraged and began to think a little bit differently about what took place there at Mount Sinai. As he introduced to us the idea of Mount Sinai being a wedding ceremony. It's that place where the people of God and God said to one another, I do. For I have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. My grace is sufficient to save you. And having saved you, I have brought you unto myself, and together here under the canopy, we enter into this covenant that says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. This is who I am, and this is who you'll be. And the passage then speaks about how the glory of God and the mystery of God and the majesty of God met his people there at Sinai. And then he talks about those pestilences and he talks about those plagues and we can think about how that happened, yes, in Egypt, but we also can think about how that happened as the people of God made their way in the land. Because there were times that they didn't keep covenant with their God. And their sins had consequences. And those consequences were meted out upon them. And so he takes us from that down into what happens in the period of the judges. And he picks on two judges. He speaks about what happens there with Cushan. And he speaks about what happens there with the Midianites. He's talking about Othniel, who was raised up by the Lord after the people of God had spent 8 years doing evil and finally cried out for relief. And Othniel is raised up and he leads the people of God in victory over Cushan. And for 40 years, they enjoy peace. And then after 40 years of peace, they lapse back into those 8 years of evil and they cry out for help and God sends Gideon. Gideon comes and he judges the Midianites and they have then again 40 years of peace. Oh Lord, won't you please come to us today as I remember you came to our forefathers in days past. Gideon remembers the acts of God and his dealings with his covenant people, as well as the nations of the world. Now, Habakkuk refocuses. You know, it's one thing to remember what God has done. It's another thing to have those memories significantly alter our focus. You see, Habakkuk's focus was, first of all, on the evil that was going on among the covenant people. Why, Lord, aren't you paying attention to their violence? And the Lord says, oh, I'm paying attention. They're going to be taken into captivity. Lord, but the Babylonians, they're more wicked than we've been. What's going on? Did you see where his focus has been? His focus has been on all the evil among the people of God. And his focus is on these wicked people that God's bringing in to do something to us. But his focus is going to be significantly refocused. He's led to remember once again that phrase that the Lord tucks in there in the second chapter. when he speaks about all the wickedness out there. Don't compare your righteousness with their unrighteousness. Because righteousness is not measured by the things we do. Righteousness comes because we live by faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his or her focus on the God who is in his holy temple, and he says, chill. And it's interesting, isn't it, that that little phrase in this little book of Habakkuk finds its way into no less than three letters in the New Testament. Don't you marvel with me that Paul will take up these words in his argument with the Romans about wherein lies our righteousness? And isn't it significant that Paul will take this little phrase from Habakkuk and use it there in that letter to the Galatians, who are wrestling with the Judaizers who are trying to bring in the law as a means of justification apart from faith alone? And then to find the writer to the Hebrews using it in that great letter that shows how Christ is the one of whom the entire Old Testament spoke. And I was surprised, I was humbled, and I'm really left to wonder. I was told this week, I think it was, or maybe, yeah, it was this week, that Dr. Ed Robeson puts forth the idea that if you've ever wanted to know what was said on the road to Emmaus, it may have been the book of Hebrews. Now, that's something to think about. When Jesus opened up the scriptures and presented himself. Now, okay, just tuck it away there. There's something to think about. But that's the book of Hebrews. And it's in these three places that phrase is found. And so when we begin to have our focus back on faith, not faith in faith as we saw last week, but faith as it rests in the object and the author and the perfecter of that faith, even Jesus Christ. But it's there in that 16th verse that again his focus is refocused. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Yes, indeed. The invasion of the Babylonians reminded Habakkuk and each one of us that sin has consequences. Those consequences do not cut the sinner off from Yahweh's covenant love nonetheless. The last line of the second verse of chapter 3 captivates our hearts and our eyes and bolsters our faith. In wrath, remember mercy. God's justice demands sin be dealt with in wrath. So how is God's justice satisfied? Throughout the Old Testament, it's satisfied as the people of God confess sin and sacrifice the prescribed animal. The soul that sins shall die. A substitute had to be offered or else. But remember, it is while sin prevails that grace abounds, yet not universally. Ultimately, the wicked will not prevail over the righteous, and that takes us to the theme of the cross of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's where Habakkuk's focus ended up, in the cross of Christ. Because that's exactly where mercy is remembered in wrath. And it's when people are taken to the cross that peace can come to a land. Because it's at the cross where retaliation stops. Because it's at the cross that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, the second Adam, Jesus, the one to whom all of the people of God were given before the foundation of the world. It was in the cross that he took the wrath of God that we might enjoy mercy. And that's what captured Habakkuk's focus. And that's what has to capture our focus tonight. Remember mercy. The fact that our sin deserves our death, and we're sitting here tonight able to breathe, is because Jesus died on the cross. But we have to understand this. Just as the Babylonians one day would be destroyed because they were not died for in the cross, so those who today breathe their breath with which they blaspheme God, a day is coming for them when it will no longer be the day of salvation. And so, of course, I have to ask the question, do you know yourself? To be thankful for your Savior Jesus tonight that you're breathing. Because if you're not thankful to Jesus for the very breath you're taking tonight, you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. It's that clear from this passage. You see, it was on the cross that it looked like the Babylonians were going to have victory. It looked like the devil was going to win. It looked like he put Jesus there. But we know, just as God sent the Babylonians in to take the Israelites captive, so God put his Son on that cross, and his Son went to that cross of his own volition, and his Son laid down his life of his own volition that we might have life as the Holy Spirit is poured out to take us up out of the grave and unite us with Christ by giving us faith that embraces him. Judas didn't put him on the cross. Herod didn't put him on the cross. Pilate didn't put him on the cross. The crowd didn't put him on the cross. He died that we might live. In wrath, God remembered mercy. And so finally, Habakkuk rejoices. And isn't that where we all are? Rejoicing. Listen again to the last portion of his prayer. And I read verse 17 first. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. In other words, though your word of prosperity seems empty. Right? I promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Though the land in which you're living doesn't seem to have the milk and honey I promised. That's what Habakkuk's saying. Yet, will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. It even looks like his covenant word is null and void. But the righteous live by faith, not by sight. The righteous live with their eyes set on the God who's in his holy temple. Chill. The righteous know, because of the faith that God has given us to lay hold of Jesus Christ, that Jesus reigns. And he's moving the nations like we would chess pieces on the board. And there will come the day when the one who has been assigned this earth will be checkmate. Jesus will return and he'll usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And until that day, do you see what he says in verse 19? I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul, who with that thorn in his side realized his strength was in the Lord. And when David saw the Ark of the Covenant coming into the city where it belonged, he took off his royal robe and he danced as a servant for the God who loved him and gave himself for him. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. I came here in 1995, and one of the first phrases I learned was, growing old, not for sissies. And now I understand growing old is for Christians. Growing old is for Christians. How many times do we find in the Psalms that though our physical frame in which God has planted us is falling apart, our strength is in the Lord, and our feet are like the feet of deers. As I watch beloved saints of God, from the time I knew them in their prime until the time that I have a memorial service for them, I never stop marveling at the strength of the faith that God has entrusted to them. Though they want to go and be with the Lord because their bodies are becoming frail and weak and they don't understand why they're here, they know that God gives them the next breath because of the people who are around them. And isn't it from the old who aren't sissies? Because they rest at the grace of God and they see the Lord in his holy temple and they know that no matter what the land is like, parched or not, the faith they have that was given to them. Christ Jesus is their righteousness. And so in wrath they know they have the mercy of God. You give thanks to God for the breath you breathe tonight. And do you rejoice in the great salvation that you enjoy because of the breath that you breathe tonight, that cost the Father his Son, the Son his life on the cross, and the Holy Spirit's leaving the Trinity to come and apply the salvation that is ours in Christ. So I submit afresh. When everything around us is falling apart, not only are Christians comforted by the sovereignty of God and Jesus sustaining our lives, ultimately Christians rejoice in the great salvation we enjoy because the wrath of Yahweh is remembered in mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the Christ of the book that you inspired Habakkuk to write. And we thank you that you enabled us these last three Lord's days to enter into this man's psyche as he communicated with you, cried out at the outset in a way that we cry out today as we look around us and see things falling apart, things that we used to take for granted just aren't there anymore. You answered him by reminding him, refocusing him, and enabling him to rejoice, just as you do with us, who by grace through faith believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto our salvation, having repented of our sins and trusted in him as the one who shed his blood that we would have remission of sins. Oh, Father, may we go forth in the abundance of that salvation, remembering mercy as you do with us, for the extending of your glory across this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.